You know, I wear my clerical attire, my garb a lot out in public, and so people come up to me all the time and ask me questions about God, and I don't mind it. You know, I'm always on the clock, so I love talking about Jesus. So people ask me all different kinds of questions, and more recently, I was talking to somebody, and they were talking to me about God, and they said, "Oh, Father, well, I just want to preface today that I'm spiritual and not religious," and I get this all the time. And so I had some time, and I said, "Can we talk about that?" And they're like, "Yeah, sure, Father." I'm like, "What does that mean, to be spiritual and not religious?" They're like, "Well, I don't go to church, and I don't follow all those rules." I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Well, what does your relationship with God look like?" And he said, "Well, you know, God's kind of up there, and he's doing his own thing." And I was like, "Well, do you talk to him?" He's like, "Well, if I want to, but it's occasional, and there's no obligation." I said, "Wow, okay, so that's interesting. So you don't really have any relationship with God unless you want one. And it's optional." He's like, "Yeah, pretty much. So it's nice for me. I can do it if I want to. I don't have to go to church." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And I was talking about morality. I was like, "Well, what's truth, and how, you know, how moral are you?" And he's like, "Well, you know, in my thought, it's kind of like, well, I make it up, so I just have to be a good person. I just have to be a good person." I'm like, "What does that mean?" He's like, "Well, it just means that, like, I can kind of do what I want, and God's okay with it." I'm like, "Oh, okay, so you rationalize what you do." And he's like, "Well, yeah, kind of." I said, "Well, what about other people when they sin?" They're like, "Oh, no, God's super angry with them. He is not merciful to them." I'm like, "Whoa, so in your spirituality, there's a double standard too." He's like, "Yeah, God is not merciful to these people who do bad things. No way, bad." I said, "Okay, so," I was like, "Do you believe in Jesus?" He goes, "Well, no, I just believe in a God." And I was like, "Wow." I said, "This isn't even Christian." And I said, "Not only that, but if you're saying what is true, this is extremely dangerous, because you're making up who God is and you're making up your belief system based on yourself." I said, "It's extremely dangerous, isn't it?" And I was like, "Because you make God fit what you want and it's comfortable." And he said, "Well, I just don't want to follow the church rules and all those things. It's all man-made. It's all made up." And I said, wait, that could be dangerous. But so many Americans think this way. I'm spiritual and religious. I don't have any obligation to God, and I can make it up as I go. It's comfortable. That's where a lot of Americans are at. But guess what? This is not a new problem. This has been around for 2,000, more than that, since the history of mankind, since Adam and Eve, since the fall of our ancestors. This pride has been around. And we see this in ancient Israel. This isn't something new to Americans. It's been around forever. So what is Jesus getting at in today's gospel? Well, first of all, Jesus knows exactly what he's doing, and he's actually, he throws it in the face of his listeners. He wants them to get angry. What he does is derogatory, and he's inciting a riot. He does it on purpose. So he's in Nazareth, his hometown. This is his first sermon, and it goes horribly. They're angry at him, which is great. It makes me feel good, you know, when you guys laugh and like my homilies. But Jesus' first homily was horrible, and they were angry at him, and they didn't believe him. And so he says this. He said, "There was that time." Do you remember? And they were the faithful Jews. They remembered back in the Old Testament of those two stories. The two stories that Jesus brings up, and they weren't good memories. It was kind of a low point for Israel. See, that they were actually, that during the time of Elijah, there was this famine that God allowed to happen because Israel was not faithful. They were immoral, they were doing whatever they wanted, and they were pretty much making up their own religion. They weren't really worshiping God. They were offering sacrifices that were cheap and lame. They were offering sacrifices to Baal and all the pagan gods. They were doing everything that was trendy and cool. They had no morality. They were sinning grievously against God. And so God said, okay. Now, this is a big point that I bring up, that God reminds, and everybody thinks in the Old Testament that God punished Israel. See, God didn't punish Israel. In the book of Deuteronomy, God reminds them. He says, "Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be my people, that's great. But I set before you truth and life, or you could choose lies and death. So you could choose me and prosper, and I will bless you, or you can choose your own path." See, God loves free will. He gave us free will to choose. He says, "If you follow me and if you follow my commandments, if you obey my laws, I will bless you and you will prosper. But if you do your own thing and you want to go your own separate way and you want to make it up as you go, fine. But it's not going to be with me. And it will lead to destruction." And so when Israel, everybody thought, God punished them. God didn't punish them. He said, you want to choose that path? You want to be cool like everybody else? Go. But it's not going to be with me, and you're not going to prosper. And so they got beaten up time and time again by huge empires that would come in and conquer them. And famines would hit the land. And it was not God punishing them. But to make insult to injury and to make things worse, and Jesus was slapping them across the face, was saying this. Not only did ancient Israel not obey God's commands, did not follow God, but even worse, their enemies did. That was the insult that Jesus was throwing at his people, his own people, his own neighborhood. He's like, don't you listen? Your ancestors didn't get it, and you're falling into the same trap. If you follow God's commandments and you obey him and you worship him, then you will be blessed. So who did God bless? Well, he did not bless the people of Israel or any of the widows during the famine. He blessed a woman, a widow from Zarephath, from Sidon. And so it's like, wow, what a pagan. And how does it that God blesses this woman who did not deserve it? And then Jesus throws it in their face again. He says, during the time of, again, when you were being punished, when you weren't being punished, but that you were not obeying the commandments, God did not heal any of your lepers. But who did he heal? The general of the army that was your enemy. God healed your enemy, and he did not heal you. So God is slapping them in the face and said, wake up. You're not following my commandments. You've watered down my law. You're doing what is cool. You're fitting in, but that's not my message. I've given you a law to obey. And see, Jeremiah, we hear it's always the first reading many times is connected to the gospel. The church picks out Jeremiah. I get to say, Jeremiah is probably one of the most hated prophets of the Old Testament. And he was given a message that no one likes. And we even hear it in the first reading that God reminded him. He said, by the way, everybody's going to hate you when I tell you this, but say it anyways. And he's like, thanks, God. Why do you hate me so much? But he does. This message is you've not followed my laws. You've not followed my ways. You are disobedient. You're doing your own thing. And so I'm going to let you. But it's going to be a path of destruction. And so Jeremiah is preaching the same message that Jesus is preaching, and people don't want to listen because they don't want to follow the rules. They don't want to follow God and his commandments. And so today we gather here today and we say, wow, I guess a lot has changed, but a lot hasn't changed over the centuries, has it? That we still are prideful. We still want to do it our way. We still want to make up religion and believe what we want to believe because it's easy and comfortable. But you know, one of the hardest things about being a Christian is it's not easy. And if it was easy, yeah, everyone would do it. But that's why we have so many people that are in Christian by name. Yeah, I was baptized Christian, but I don't go to church. I don't do that Jesus thing anymore. Why? Because if I did, I gotta change my life. I gotta change my life. If I'm gonna really live for Jesus, I can't be doing what I'm doing. I'm sinning and I gotta change my ways. I gotta believe it. I gotta be humble enough and let go of my pride to say that Jesus knows better than I do, and that he gave his church to help us out. And I'm not ready for that. And a lot of people aren't. And so you and I, we have this beautiful, beautiful obligation to show the world what it means to be Christian. That following the rules is not necessarily a bad thing. Because see, if we believe in the rules, the belief behind the rules is that God loves us and he wants what's best for us. And that God doesn't punish us by the rules. But actually what we believe as Catholics is that the more obedient we are to God, the freer we are. Because sin enslaves. Sin destroys. And so laws aren't bad. And obeying God's commandments are actually good. And that when we fully embrace them, that we live in freedom. And so we gather here today. And part of being Catholic is there's a lot of stuff out there about the church. There's no human being smart enough to understand all the concepts of the Catholic Church. No one who could read every document and everything that has ever been written that was Catholic. And so we do the best we can, and whenever we come against something that we don't quite understand, like confession, or what the church teaches on abortion, or what the church teaches about, you know, living together before marriage, then we look it up. We don't make it up, we look it up. And what I love about our Catholic faith is that it's always based in, and they use footnotes from the Bible and from 2,000 years of tradition. And so, like, I always say, wow, God, thank you for putting other people that are smarter than me, for giving us the church and giving us direction. And so let us pray today. If there's something about the faith, and there is, even for me, there's things that I wrestle with. I say, God, help me out. I don't quite understand this, but give me the resolve and the knowledge to understand it better. And so there are so many people that we know that don't go to church anymore. They're kind of making things up as they go. They're spiritual and not religious anymore. But I realize that if we water things down to just being a good person, then what Jesus said at the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount means nothing. Our God said, I tell you, not even an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's hard. That's not an easy message. And just being a good person doesn't cut it, not if you're going to follow Jesus. And so let's gather today and pray. Pray that we could be a witness to the world. And that this has been a bigger problem than just America. This has been a problem for humanity. That we can't make up who God is. And so today we remind the world that not only are we spiritual, but more importantly, we're also religious.